Welcome to Hammer Don.
Don.
Number one sports gambling show coming out of the PMI office. I am your host, Tone Diggs, joined in studio by Gumpy. And on the FaceTime, joining us as always, host of the GM Shuffle, the Lombardi Line, the Daily Coach, writes for The Athletic, former NFL GM, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Hey,
how you doing today, Michael?
Good afternoon, guys. How we doing?
I cannot complain. We were just talking about it before we started the show. So Pat went 4-1 this weekend, so he was good. The rest of us had losing records, but we felt like we were on the right side in a lot of the games. Dallas, Atlanta, Washington, if they wouldn't have turned it over 18 times, felt like we were on the right side. Is that how you felt as well?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I'm disappointed I didn't take Green Bay. I had them, should have been the favorite in the game. I said it on, I'm disappointed. I mean, here's what I learned Saturday morning when I went into the Borgata in Atlantic City. So, your chart, you're looking at the same chart I'm looking at.
Yep.
When I went in there at 10 o'clock before my show, Seattle had 16% of the money. Green Bay had 10% of the money. Tampa Bay had 3% of the money. Detroit had 8% of the money. Cincy had 15. Minnesota had 1. San Francisco had 11. Houston had 16. And Kansas City had 13. And if you just bet those teams, you would have been 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And to me, I think that's where I was a little disappointed. I think the Seattle one was a tough one to take. There's no reason that Dallas shouldn't have covered that line. And actually, Dallas should have won that game. You know, they get the safety. They miss two extra points. We could have had a push, but yet we get the bad one.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it personally that Mitchell Trubisky played so bad he benched himself, which cost me. As soon as he went in, what was your guys thinking? Did you think your bet was safe?
I knew I was screwed. I tweeted out. I said Nick Foles is going to do what Nick Foles does when he comes in, and then the Falcons are going to do what they do. And that's exactly how it happened. I mean, it's tough when you put in a bet and you think the quarterback's going to be Mitch Trubisky, and then it turns out being Nick Foles, who first came in with a visor, which scared me first, because, I mean, Nick Foles with a visor is a completely different creature. But then he's so much better than Mitch. And I saw you tweeted out today that they finally took Mitch out to pasture. So if you want to comment on MVP Mitch finally being out, because there's no way they're going back to him.
Oh, they would have lost the locker room. I mean, you know, that was in. So I said on my podcast this morning, I mean, you know, he was pulling a. Remember in The Godfather where Carlo tries to lie to Michael and he says, you know, don't insult my intelligence?
Uh-huh.
You know, well, they, you know, and Matt Nagy was insulting our intelligence, telling him he had to think about it when he flew home. But, you know, it to me was a game, you know, MVP Mitch is just. Foles coming off, but I think here's a learning lesson for people listening to this pod.
I love learning lessons.
My man Bill's sitting next to me on the couch. We're watching the games, and he usually bets my picks. So when Foles goes in the game, we both look at each other and say, that's not good for our bet.
No, it's not.
All right, so then I said to him, well, what's the line if we take Chicago right now?
There it is.
At 26 to 10 with 10 minutes to go. He said it's 11.5, and we didn't, and he didn't do it. I should have said, just take that. Like, you would have hedged your bet, right?
Yes, 1,000%. It's funny you say that because
there's a victory lap coming. Here's a victory lap.
It's funny you say that because the Bears fan in our office knew as soon as Foles came in against that Falcons defense, he actually took money line and it was plus like 800. So he got plus 800 on the money line for Bears to come back, because it happens. It seems to happen all the time against the Falcons, and then you knew Foles was 10,000 times better than Trubisky.
I mean, it's just. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's just, and then, you know, I mean, Matt Ryan throws six straight incompletions. They got 6 minutes to go in the game. It's 26-16, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they can't get any first downs. He's throwing incomplete passes. I mean, it's just really bad. I mean, look, Atlanta's not a talented team by no means, but they shouldn't have done that. They should have won that game.
Pat, take your bow for your 4-1 weekend.
I'll tell you what, it's hard always being right, but somehow for 33 years I've managed. I'll tell you what, Mr. Lombardi, whenever you disagree with me, I feel very dumb. Dumpy and I normally try to solidify ourselves together. When I went out on a limb against everybody basically for a lot of my picks this week, that made me feel good this Sunday. I was cashing in every game I watch. I was like, look at me, Hammer Don. I'm
yeah, I think. I think the lesson is if you're with as Bill Walsh used to say to me, if we're all thinking alike, no one's thinking. And if you're with the side of everybody, then you're not on the right side.
Well, au contraire, mon frere. We started our week three on Thursday night, everybody all in on Fitzmagic, including you, I think. So we were all on the same boat at one point, and we all got rich. But I understand what you're saying whenever it comes to us all breaking down our games.
You agree, Mr. Lombardi? You agree?
Yeah, I do. I think sometimes I don't ever want to not be on the side of the book. I like being on the side of the book. The book wins usually more times than it doesn't. And like I read you, those eight teams with those low number ticket counts, only Pat knew that Houston was going to have 15 plays in the second half.
Thank you.
Only Pat knew that they were going to have two drives of three and out and then punt and then turn the ball over. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So, I mean, like that game was Houston had a chance and Pittsburgh warmed down. There's no doubt.
We also should have known that after week two, when the book got killed, that they were going to get their money back in week three.
Yeah, that's right. That's why they build those big casinos, you know?
I have a question for you, Lombardi. When you go to a craps table, do you bet on the do not pass?
I don't play craps. I don't play anything at the casino. You know, I work at the Borgata, and I walk by all the tables at like 8:30 in the morning, and I look at people, and I'm like, what are they doing?
You would love the do not pass line. It's like completely against the entire table, because you said you're betting on the book basically every time. That is your type of thing. I think you could potentially really find a groove at the craps. Everybody will hate you there, but I think you could really find a groove of raking and scraping chips off the bottom of the table there for yourself.
Yeah, like for example, like I know it was a lot of points. I would have never done it. But the Jets are so bad. Why didn't we take Indianapolis?
It's a double-digit NFL favorite. I mean, the numbers say that we shouldn't, but the eye test says that.
Throw those numbers out. I think this is a different – like the Giants. Like I almost took San Francisco because I know the Giants. I watch their tape every week. They're terrible. They're bad.
Teams favored by over 7 or 21-9 against the spread this year now, Mike.
Really?
Wild stat.
Mm-hmm. Heavy favorites or cash in. So it's funny you brought up those two teams, Michael, because I wanted to – there's on the sidebar here, it says never, ever again. And I have some teams listed here, and they're the Falcons, the Giants, the Eagles, the Jets, and the Washington football team's offense. Are we ever, ever taking a look at those teams ever again?
No, and then Rivera didn't call timeouts. He kind of screwed us on a backdoor cover too.
Oh.
I mean, you know, when I said to you, I was thinking I was going to get a backdoor cover on Cleveland, on Washington. I thought it would be a closer game. I was wrong, obviously. I got no problem saying it. But the reality of it is Rivera didn't even call timeouts. He let that game just go. And how bad was Haskins? Oh, my gosh.
Michael, do you think he wasn't calling timeouts because he has absolutely zero confidence in Haskins? And he said it today that Haskins basically does have a shelf life. Like he said, the rest of his team played their fucking hearts out, and Haskins ruined it for him, basically.
Yeah, and then he can't believe Haskins is going to be the start. Watching that game, I think if they start Kyle Allen, they beat Cleveland.
Kyle Allen? You think Kyle Allen's starting over hamstring for a shin, well, Alex
I said
Smith?
If they would have put him in that game, I think they would have beaten him.
How about Alex Smith?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know the health of Alex Smith. I don't. I would, you know, I worry about him moving around. I really do.
Comeback story, though. That's a good comeback story.
Yeah, because he's – and like, story. And so, yeah, they did, and the Falcons – you just can't – like the Falcons, you can't trust them to close a game. The Giants are terrible. What do you think about Wentz and the Eagles?
You know, I think the leading receiver for the Eagles was Greg Ward. I mean, they have no playmakers. Deshaun got hurt again. Who's making a play for their offense?
Nobody.
Like, and not that I think Wentz is playing good. Wentz hasn't played good since Frank Wright left town. That's a fact. He's 14-16-1. He has not played good since Frank Wright left town. He's a kid. You got to coach him a certain way. From what people tell me, he's not playing good at all. They have no playmakers on offense. They didn't have any last year. Rieger got hurt. They drafted in the first round. You know, they're counting on Deshaun Jackson. Again, he's hurt. Who's making plays for him? Their offensive line. I mean, they beat the shit out of Joe Burrow. The poor kids get sacked 8 times, you know, and yet they still can't beat Cincinnati at home when you're 0-2.
What are your thoughts on – do you think because of the lack of playmakers and the lack of – offense all in general is why they didn't go for it on fourth and why
kick the field goal? Why didn't they?
I don't know what Peterson said after the game. He said that you know, he was thinking about it, but it just, he didn't want to give them field position. And then, you know, he's Mr. Go for it on fourth down. Like, it was fourth and 17, you know, throw it up there. Maybe you get a pass interference call or something. He said, we thought we'd try the punt and see if maybe something good could happen. Like, what's going to happen? I mean, Pat McAfee's not the punter. What good could happen?
Hey, bingo. And even if I'm out there, you know what's happening? We're fucking tying the game. That was a decision to tie the game. I think it was like 20 seconds, 13 seconds on the clock. Like, come on. You kick that ball at the 46. If it's a 64-yarder that he could have had there whenever the penalty happened. Randy Bullock, the kicker for the Bengals, which Doug Peterson, I assume, knows, doesn't have like a massive, like, they would still have to get a first down or two there in 13 seconds or whatever, in 19 seconds with no timeout. There's a lot. You're playing for a tie. That's a tough look. Now, 10 games down the road, will we look back on this tie and be like, boy, they're happy they got a tie against the Bengals instead of a loss? Maybe, but that message you send to your locker room, Mike, I don't know, dude.
I agree with you. Look, I mean, and he's the king of taking chances. Like, you know, and he said the wind was behind Elliott. Like, why wouldn't you try to kick it?
He's got a
Everybody in Philly doesn't understand why he didn't try to kick it.
He's got a 61-yarder as long as Pat. So, like, you would think that he could probably go 64?
Yeah, and Jake's got a hose. Like, he's got a big – and he's been hitting the ball really well, too. It's not like he hasn't. I think he went 4-for-4 on the day before that. Whenever he said, because I think his explanation was 4th-and-7, we're thinking about going in for it, and then when it's 4th-and-12, that's just too much. It's like, so you have no faith in Jake Elliott then. That's what you basically just said. I just think
hey, Pat, did you notice where they set that line in overtime like it was make it? Like, did you see where that was? It was like they made it seem like it was a 55-yard field goal. The TV broadcast was like no big deal. Like, seriously, they had that line set out there like
oh, you know, the red line, like
that
field
red
goal
line that they have if you get to a certain point.
Yeah, that's the longest you've ever hit. It doesn't mean in a game. It doesn't mean what you can hit, right? Because there's a lot of guys like Jake Elliott, for instance. Who knows if he could hit from 64? Nobody knows, but they definitely don't know. That target line is just the longest that you have made in your career.
I got it. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. That because I was wondering, like, to me, see, my whole thing is I never want to attempt a field goal. I want to make a field goal. Like, I want it. So, like, for me, like, if it's down, like, he had 2nd and 10, he ran an inside zone play. 3rd down, he ran, you know, the quarterback centered the ball. Like, seriously, I was like, I want to attempt the field goal, not make. I want to make it. I don't want to attempt it. I thought he needed 15 more yards at least.
Vinatieri's big thing. They used to ask him what side, like, where do you want to be, on the right hash, in the middle, or on the left hash? And he was like, I don't care. Just don't lose yards. So people like run backwards and they like take a knee. They lose 2 yards or whatever. Vinny's like, imagine if I just hit it off the post there because that 2 yards just came back. Mm-hmm. That would have been in there. So he was always, Vinny was hilarious. Greatest of all time, obviously. And they'd be like, Vinny, what's your line? What's your line for today? And we'll say like, 40 today. Once you get to the 40, 58-yarder, we're good. And we get to the 40, right? And at the end, it would be crunch time. And the coach would be like, well, we got to the fucking line that Vinatieri wanted us to get to. Now, if he doesn't make it, that's on him. And Vinny, every single week, would say 40. But let's get every yard we can. Like, let's not just go ahead and park it. Because some coaches do that, by the way. A kicker will give a yard. A punter will give a yard. Special teams coach will give a yard. And then the offense coordinator is like, our job is to get it to this point. And then once we get here, hey, that's on the kicker and punter. They can't figure it out. Now, granted, we could run a couple more draws here to pick up 3-4 more yards. That makes a 55-yarder into a 51-yarder or 50-yarder, which is much higher percentage make. But the way that whole thing operates at the end of games is always so interesting to me.
It is. Like, I don't want to get sacked. I get that. Like, I'm not – but, you know, get in shotgun, run something that the ball's coming out of my hand quickly so that I can go ahead and make a play. Like, I got to get more yards. I got to trust my quarterback enough to get more yards there because it's not fair for the kicker. It's not fair.
Well, and then the kicker, by the way, feels the exact same way you do. Whether they're like, hey, yeah – Harrison Butker said he was pumped that it was a 58-yarder or whatever. He was like, oh, thanks for getting a penalty to back it up. He's a different animal. Everybody else would be like, yeah, if this is a 35-yard game winner, we're completely okay with that instead of a 55-yard game winner. It's, you know, it's an interesting thing. I think you should have let the kid kick. I haven't seen Jake Elliott kick, though, so maybe I'm completely wrong. It just seemed like a bad message to send.
Michael, when you're – I guess there isn't really a GM in Washington, but when you're a GM of the team, and Pat's talked about this a lot about how there's no loyalty when the GM is coming in, and like, because because Rivera didn't take Haskins. Like, what?
Right.
What is the loyalty type situation, or is it just like, especially when it's a first round pick, especially when there's that much invested in it? What is the GM thinking when he comes into a situation like that, and the first round pick quarterback that they don't really like? What's the situation there?
I think what he probably did in the job interview, Snyder probably said to him, look, you know, what I really want you to do is give this kid Haskins every chance. I want Haskins to have a really good chance. I want you to make sure you coach him as hard as you can, give him every chance possible, and see what he can do. And then after a certain point, if he's not good enough, we can move on. But I have a feeling this is going to be a great player for the Washington football team. Just give him a chance. Coach him up. Try to make him the best version. Don't bring anybody in this offseason that could rattle the cages. If you want to trade for a backup, Kyle Allen, go ahead. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what the conversation was. So Ron, being a man of integrity, probably is living by that. But deep down, Ron knows, and I'm sure Scott Turner knows too. Look, that's really not – I don't think Haskins is the guy. Now, it's early. Granted, maybe he'll fight through it. But I don't see him having the ability to handle it mentally, physically. And once it starts going bad, can he turn it around? I think the mental toughness just supported me yesterday. You know, he had chances to bounce back from it, and he didn't.
Wow. And I didn't expect that.
And to your point, and what hurts the case there, what I want to talk about next is, through the first 2 weeks, the NFL has the highest scoring points per game it has ever. This week, it went 9-6 to the over. But two of those games that went under, the Tampa Bay game and the Colts game, was just because they sat on the ball because they were up by so many points. Is there a reason that you guys think that the NFL, the points are up so much this season?
I think there's no – I mean, there's still seven teams that haven't gotten called for holding yet. Ooh. You know, and so, you know, if you're not going to call holding on the offensive line – and, you know, you and I can watch the tape, and we see holding. I mean, I saw it. I watched the Patriot game yesterday. I mean, they tackled Adam Butler on one play. They didn't call it. It was a 35-yard gain. You know, I think as long as they're not going to call holding – and the leading two teams, I think Kansas City has five holding calls on them so far this year. They lead. They haven't played, obviously, tonight. The Bengals have four. But imagine – and Bengals, you get sacked eight times, and you've only had four holding calls all year. Think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's why we're seeing, and obviously the execution is better. The defense is tired. There's no doubt. I mean, now we've played three games. There should be better conditioning, right? There should be. And there's a lot of teams that just can't rush the passer. I mean, look at Nick Mullen. I mean, Nick Mullen came in there, played really well. I mean, the Giants can't rush the passer. They have nobody who can rush the passer. And when you can't rush the passer, it's hard to cover.
Let's go back to your original point there with the refs. I think Pereira came on and said, like, holding calls was down from like 170, maybe down to 50. It was a wild number, and I might be misquoting that, but it's down six flags per game. So I think refs were told, like, hey, unless it's egregious, let's let them play, which I think everybody's happy about, probably except for defensive linemen that you're referring to there at the end about being able to rush the passer. And also, I didn't even think about defenses being incredibly tired with this new style of offense where everything's RPO, open, fast tempo, and with the no offseason. And now, granted, guys had a build-up period and a quick OTA session basically during training camp and then a couple weeks and a good ramp-up. But that conditioning, that game shape, I would assume 3-4 weeks in now, guys will start to catch their legs, hopefully. But I didn't even think about the style of offense just beating the hell out of defenses cardiovascular-wise. I didn't even think about that.
It wears you down. I mean, and then here's the other thing I think that's really going on, and it's a real problem in the NFL, is not a lot of teams understand how to rush quarterbacks. And so because there's so much movement of the quarterback position, you see it all the time. Russell steps up. You know, the worst – Bill Parcells used to say this all the time. The worst place to be in football is 2 yards past the quarterback because he has yet to turn around and run that way. Like, so when you go past the quarterback, 11-on-11 game goes to a 11-on-10 game. And these guys are so good at stepping up and moving out and creating plays. Like I'll give you a perfect example. If you want to know why John Gruden really wants another quarterback besides Derek Carr, watch the Raider game against the Patriots. And every time Carr had a chance to make a play in that game, when the play broke down, Carr was bad. And Gruden is so frustrated because he can't those plays he watches Mahomes or Watson or these other quarterbacks, they make. Cam on the other side, play breaks down, scramble out, run for first down. You know, you can't script everything. And I think part of it is because these defensive lines don't really understand how to rush the passer, how to control the quarterback in the pocket with the pass rush. And it's a problem. And these guys get out of the pocket and they make plays. And so third and 12 isn't really that hard anymore because they just they move around, throw it, boom, first down.
That was the type of quarterback I was, by the way. I rolled right.
Yeah.
You're
great on the run.
Well, even the plays that Carr made against the Saints, he was still holding on to the ball forever. They were late.
Forever. And they don't rush him the right way. Like, if you watch New England, what New England did yesterday was they powered the left tackle back. Right, Colt, they powered him back. So they basically told Winovich or whoever was on that side, you are powering this guy back on every play. Now, you may think you want to go up to slap to arm under and go up the field. You're not doing it. You're powered. We're powering the left tackle back. We're going to force him to where he's got to run or stay in the pocket. And that's what they do. That's Belichick will spend more two or three days on pass rush in terms of how to synchronize the pass rush than anything, especially now these the Mahomes this week, it'll all be about how we rush, not how we cover.
That's so sophisticated. Mm-hmm. That's their football IQ. I'm assuming other coaches are doing the same, but just the thought that Belichick would be like, how do we beat these guys? All right, we just blow this guy up, and then we do this. And
I mean,
then,
like, if you're playing Mahomes, you got to build an umbrella. You know, they didn't do it against Russell Wilson, and it really cost them. And so you knew on that flight home from Seattle, he was the poor D-line coach is going to take a beating because, like, look, fellas, we can't do it. Like, tonight, we're going to talk Baltimore, Kansas City. Don Martindale, really good defense coordinator. He'll, you know, all week, he's got to be telling his D-line coaches, hey, fellas, keep Mahomes in front of us. We can't let him get out of here. Now, if he beats us in a tight pocket, so be it. We'll take our chances. But if we let him get out and move right or left and he throws on the move 90 yards down the field to Tyreek Hill, that's our own fault.
All right, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's just get into that right now. And actually, tonight at FanDuel, they're doing a little special $10 risk-free same game parlay. So you put your $10 down, you lose, you get your $10 back, same game parlay. You could bet on the line, you can bet on the spread, the over-under, touchdown score, over-under passing yards, whatever. Same game parlay. I got a 9-leg parlay to win $15,000 tonight. Risk-free. $10 risk-free.
Wow.
So make sure you head over to FanDuel and get that in. Make sure you opt in to get credit for it back. Michael, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, so the line's at 3.5. And 57% of the bets are on the Chiefs, and 54% of the money's on the Chiefs. I feel like when I looked at this on Thursday or Friday, most of the money was on the Ravens. Do you remember that correctly, and has it moved the money-wise towards the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, I was told at the Borgata this weekend that one of a Vegas guy, a heavy-hitter Vegas guy, dumped a ton of cash on Baltimore as soon as it opened at 3. Mm-hmm. And that moved it to 3.5, and it's kind of stayed there. Now, as on Saturday, Kansas City only had 13% of the money.
Yeah, that's what I remember, yeah.
I remember, and now they're up to, now they have 46% of the money. So, and yet the line hasn't moved off of 3.5. It hasn't. And, you know, and Pat knows this, like, we're talking about two of the best field goal kickers in football.
Oh, yeah.
And that half point might just determine this game. You know, and so when that guy got it at 3.5, I still like Baltimore and take the 3.5. But, you know, I don't know if you're ever going to see Kansas City on the money line at plus money.
No, you're 1,000% correct. It's great value. If you like the Chiefs, it's great. It's great value right there. Gumpy, what did you have?
Do you make anything of the Ravens' struggles against good teams at home against the spread, Mike? They're 4-11 against the spread. Their last 15 as a home favorite. And 2-6, their last 8 home games against teams with a winning record.
I mean, I think tonight they got to prove that they can play with these really good teams. Now, you know, last year they beat New England when New England was really going good off of the bye. But, you know, I think this matchup, for me, they got to hold the ball 34, 35 minutes. You got to keep Mahomes away. You can't give him too many chances. You know, for example, if you can get Mahomes in a 12 third downs, you got a chance to win the game. If he has 8 third downs, you're probably not going to win the game because that means he's making too many long plays.
Like, do you give
big plays? So, like, for example, we talk about Carson Wentz, right? The Eagles yesterday had 21 third downs.
Jesus.
Come on.
What does that tell us as fans? It tells us they can't make explosive plays. They're always in third down. It's what the Raiders' problem is. Without Ruddy, without, you know, their big receiver, but they can't, Ruggs, they can't make third. You can't be in that many third downs and be good.
Well, and they're not third and shorts either. They're always third and seven plus, it seems like.
And Mr. Lombardi, can you somehow talk me into not betting a lot of money on these ridiculous parlays that I talk myself into believing are going to happen?
Like, I don't know what. Tell me the parlays you're playing. I don't like the over went from 52 and opened. It's now at 54 and a half. Is that what you have?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have.
You don't like it?
I have 85% of the money on the over.
I do. I think this game. I mean, look, this isn't going to be a 17-10 game. You know, it's going to have to be 31. You know, 24. You know, there's 55. Right. It's hard. Here's what I would say. Whenever the Niners were great, I always felt like this. If the Niners ever got a defensive touchdown against you when Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Bill Walsh were coaching, that score was going to be in the 30s.
Joe Montana? Hey, he will take a kidnapper's head off of their body.
That story, Pat.
Awesome.
I mean, they come near my grandkids. I'm doing more than just calling the cops. I can tell you that right now.
I bet you Montana tossed a pigskin at the face.
Michael, that guy's body would be in a marsh if I know anything about our kind. Okay.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you won't, as they said in The Godfather, you won't see him no more. But anyway, I think this is going to be a 34-28 kind of. I still think the over's in play here a little bit.
Michael, my heart wants to take the Chiefs just because they're the Chiefs. But then, like, part of my football brain wants me to I think that if there's a secondary out there that can potentially match up with the Chiefs, is it the Ravens?
Well, they think they can. I mean, they got Jimmy Smith as the third corner. They got Marlon Humphreys, and they got Marcus Peters. The last time they played them out there when they gave up 38, they didn't have any one of those three players. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they feel like they can cover. They feel like they can create some problems. You know, they watched the Charger game. Look, the Chargers played a lot of cover three, kept the ball in front, and tackled well. And you got to have team speed to beat them, and you got to really tackle well. And the Ravens have tackled. You can't let them get cheap yards after the catch. And you got to keep the ball in front of you as best you can. And the other key, more than anything, like, you know, when Dallas flew home last night, you know, you can talk about all the things that went wrong. The reality was Dallas allowed Seattle to be 5-for-5 in the red zone. You do that, you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, they also had they had wide receivers running wide open everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, you know, and like I said on my pod, it's like I don't know why they hire Mike McCarthy, and they've turned him into a beat cop. He's down there and just like he's like Sean Connery and good and Untouchables. He's just walking around with a stick like he's got that thing in his hand, like. Like, let the man call plays. That's what he won a Super Bowl. You're going to give Kellen Moore the chance to call plays?
Jerry's turned him into the clapper. Jerry likes his coaches to be submissive. That's just how it's going.
Just clap it out.
Exactly.
Now, by the way, if he goes in as a play caller, hold up.
Bless God, bless you.
It's not the Rona, I don't think. I hope not. But if you're calling plays and you guys start out bad, on you, right? If somebody else is calling plays and they start up bad, you can take over as the play caller. I think that was potentially.
Here's the thing. As a head coach, I think we miss this a lot. I think if you're going to play Seattle and Russell Wilson, or you're going to play Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, you have to play complementary football and pace the game. You can't get into a shootout with them. They're better at it than you are. You can't beat the Warriors playing up tempo. Mm-hmm. The Warriors are better at that game. So when you only give Zeke 16 carries, he only has 4.5 yards on average in the passing game. Your best player has been neutralized by the way you're calling the game. Like, you got to go out there and say, look, we are going to get Zeke going in this game. We're going to slow this game down. And the best thing I can say to you, they're not good enough on defense. So how do you solve a defensive problem? The best way to play defense in the NFL today is to play less defense.
1,000%. And that was their whole issue last year with Kellen Moore, and nothing has changed. All right, let's get into picks for tonight. I'll be honest, I don't have one. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm sure I'll make one like right before game, but I don't have one tonight. Michael, do you have a lean or a pick or anything for tonight?
I'm not picking it. I never pick. I don't like picking Monday night games.
What? I mean, this is a show about picking things.
Yeah, but sometimes it's just smart not to.
I'm leaning towards Baltimore. I like Baltimore in the 3.5. I've maintained that all along. I think Baltimore will play good tonight.
Me and Gumpy ain't no cards.
Mahomes 5-0 and 1 against the spread as a dog in his career. Give me the Chiefs. Give me the points. I love it.
Give me the money line. Oh, give me the over. Give me Tyreek Hill as a scorer. Give me Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a scorer. Give me Travis Kelce as a scorer. Give me Patrick Mahomes passing yards under 298, which it is right now. And give me a $100 parlay that's definitely going to hit for a few thousand right there.
All right, so you're you're both on the Chiefs, right?
Oh, what are you talking about? This desk right here?
Oh, listen, I get it, and I love you taking them. I do, but I don't have enough money in my bank account to just be taking things all willy-nilly.
Well, that's because you cashed out, but the thing about this is, whenever you're talking about playing in Baltimore as opposed to playing at the home of the Chiefs. I'm a little bit worried about maybe some crab cake poisoning from our guys at Jimmy Seafood for the Chiefs players, and hopefully they're locked down. I did see a video package from the Colts here that they have a Community Monday where guys are out in the community giving out things and touching people and things like that. Like, I thought we're all going to jail for 6 months here. I thought this was all being locked up. So hopefully the boys are healthy. Hopefully they're ready to go. I like the Chiefs on the road, but Baltimore is a tough place to play, but there's no fans there. So I think it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, tonight, I'm just going to enjoy the game.
I just don't see the Chiefs struggling two games in a row either.
That makes me want to take them. All right, Michael, thank you so much. Good luck tonight, and we will talk to you on Thursday.
Congratulations, Pat. Enjoy it.
Well, I do know that easy come, easy go, my friend. Next week, I could be in the odd house, so I'm going to enjoy the penthouse while I'm here.
Just enjoy it. I'll talk to you guys.
See you, Michael. All right, and then don't forget tonight, cash or to opt in, same game parlay for Chiefs Texans, $10 free bet, basically. Same game parlay. You could do up to 15 legs of this.
Tony's going
to
win $15,000 tonight.
Let's go, Tom.
Hey, will you read
off your 15 leg parlay that you have?
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, when I was looking at it, I thought there was a chance that it hits.
There's a chance. Well,
parlays are the worst.
It's funny they said I'm not taking it, but hey. In my same game parlay, I got Chiefs +3.5.
Bingo.
Chiefs winner. Money line.
Winner.
Bingo. Welcome to the team.
Mahomes under the 294.
Whoa. Winner. Are me and you doing the same
Lamar
thing?
Lamar under the 250.
I didn't even get
it. I like
there.
That.
Travis Kelce touchdown.
Bingo.
Lamar touchdown.
Bingo.
Mark Ingram touchdown.
Bingo.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire touchdown.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Mark Andrews touchdown.
Oh, I didn't pick Mark Andrews. That's a gimme.
Mark Andrews.
I mean, he scores every touchdown for them.
Every touchdown.
It's not going to be a wideout, I can tell you that.
He'll probably score two touchdowns. Oh, I got Marquise Brown scoring.
Oh, you do?
That upped the boost a little bit. Also, Lamar might score twice. That's +900 if you want to add that.
I didn't even do, like, I mean, you could do receiving yards, over-unders in here, rushing yards, over-unders. There's a lot of options tonight at FanDuel. Same game parlay. I mean, you might as well put 10 in. It's free.
How many passing homes do you think old Patty – or passing touchdowns do you think old Patty
– what is it, 2.5?
Yeah, 2.5. Overs +136. I'll go ahead and hammer it.
I don't like that because sometimes, I mean, he could throw it down to the one, he gets tackled on the one, and then they run it in it. You know what I'm talking about?
Nah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Air it out.
All right. Hammer Dot. See you Thursday. Appreciate you listening.
Hey, not a bad show here.
Great show.
Hammer Dot. We teach them.
Hammer Dot.